So I have to start my sermon today with a confession. My confession is that this is one of my favorite times of year, and that I know that this is Advent, and it's waiting, and it's dark, and it's quiet. And I'm a pastor, so I'm really supposed to honor that and honor the rhythms of the church calendar, but in our house, we started listening to Christmas music a while ago, and probably before most people would think it was appropriate, and we got our Christmas tree on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and decorated our house so we could bask in the warm glow of Christmas lights and twinkling, shining ornaments as long as possible. The holiday season makes me and the rest of my family, Pat and Ella, feel happy and warm and cozy, and I recall memories of baking cookies with my Grammy and my mom and eating all of my favorite holiday foods. Ella and I have spent the past 2 weeks making homemade ornaments for our Christmas tree, and she kept asking, when can we decorate a gingerbread house? Which we finally did last night. My love of the season is clearly rubbing off on Ella because in the car 2 weeks ago, she told me that she was looking out the window for Christmas. I don't see it, she said. And I said, well, sweetheart, we have to do Thanksgiving first. So in the Miller house, we are all ready for Christmas and celebration and all the warm, fuzzy feelings it provides us. But I know that not everyone feels that way at this time of year. For many people, the holiday season is a very difficult time for a variety of reasons. For those with no one to celebrate with, the holidays are especially lonely. Many feel the loss of loved ones who have died more acutely at this time of year as they remember the things they used to do together and now have to do without them. For some, these constant images of families gathering for joyful celebrations only remind them of their own broken family relationships or family dysfunction that causes stress and is toxic for their own health and well-being. Especially for our LGBTQ plus friends and neighbors who were reminded yet again of how unsafe it is for them to be themselves as they saw the news of the nightclub shooting last week, the holidays may only add to those feelings of vulnerability and grief. For them and many others who, like them, they go home and have to hide their truest selves from their families or are not welcome to come home from the holidays because of who they are. For those like them who have difficult and toxic family relationships, this is not the most wonderful time of the year. It's maybe the worst time. But on this first Sunday of Advent, I can't help but think that everyone who feels this way, who is struggling during this season, is actually being a little bit truer to the season, maybe a whole lot truer to the season of Advent, than a pastor who is ready to burst with Christmas cheer the day after Thanksgiving. The truth is, we aren't meant to enter the season of Advent happy and content under the glow of colorful, twinkling holiday lights. I mean, you'll see our lights here are not even on. Instead, we enter Advent not listening to joyful carols, but called to listen for the sounds of lament and the cries for justice that rise up from our neighbors down the street and across the world. The creators of the church calendar must have known that it was essential for us to begin our journey through the church year with the reminder that everything is not okay, and we still desperately need Christ's presence among us. In Advent, we are invited to grieve all that is wrong in our lives and in our world. In Advent, we come face to face with racism, ageism, sexism, ableism, homophobia, transphobia, capitalist greed, Christian nationalism, war, violence, and injustice that threaten the well-being of us, of all humanity, and all creation. And we choose not to turn away. This is Advent. It is sitting in the reality of how much our world needs restoration and remembering that God comes to us not in the light, but in the shadows where we need God's presence and power with us most. We begin our new Christian year grounded in the reality of everything in this world that is still in need of God's transformation. Just as God and Jesus entered the shadows of this world to dwell with us in a dirty cave filled with smelly animals, welcomed by the poor and outcast of society, Advent invites us to willingly enter the shadowy places of our world alongside our friends and neighbors and wait and sing and pray for the restoration that this world desperately needs. In doing so, we say that like Christ, we will not turn our eyes away from the pain and suffering of this world. We will face it believing that evil will not have the last word, that God's love will break through, and that all creation will be restored. I think part of the reasons we light candles in Advent like this one is to literally keep us awake. Like it says in Romans 13, keep awake, wake up. If we entered the shadows without lighting a candle of hope, we might just fall asleep in the darkness and give in to the despair that overwhelms so many when they look at the world's problems. Without that little flickering flame of hope, we may say, forget it. This world is going to hell. Everything's doomed. We might as well just live it up while we can, do our best to numb out the pain and suffering, and just stop trying to fix things. That's the temptation of despair, to stop trying to live without hope and be in a mode of self-preservation driven by our biological instinct for survival and comfort and that fight or flight response that's wired into our brains. That little flame of hope gives us the strength and the courage that we need to stay in the fight in the face of injustice instead of running in the other direction. In my last year of theological school, I took a class with feminist theologian Dr. Catherine Keller, and we discussed, amongst many things, the climate crisis and how to have a theology of hope, what that might look like in the midst of climate change and ecological devastation. And there's something that she said that I will always remember. She asked, "What is the ultimate difference between a climate denialist, someone who does not believe in climate change, and a climate nihilist, someone who does believe in climate change but believes it's too late for the earth, we're already doomed?" "There's no difference," she said, "because neither will direct their energies toward fixing the problem. Without hope, even the tiniest sliver of hope for the survival of the planet and the thriving of the human race, we've already lost." So on this first Sunday of Advent, we are called, in spite of everything, to hope. We light our candles of hope and we watch as the flames flicker in the breeze, praying that the winds of despair won't come and blow them out. We wait with little boxes of matches in our pockets to lend to friends when they need to rekindle their little flames. We gather around our candles of hope in the shadows of grief, violence, injustice, and listen to the words of prophets and apostles who promise us that restoration is indeed coming and all is not lost. "God's peace is coming," says Isaiah. "You are living through what seems like never-ending cycles of violence and hatred, but God will bring it all to an end. God will bring restoration, and the people will turn away from violence and stop killing one another. Wars will end, never to begin again, and the weapons that were once used to harm and destroy will be transformed into gardening tools that cultivate abundant new life." "The day is almost here. Keep awake," says Romans 13. Don't give in to that temptation to stop believing God is at work and just numb out the pain of this world like so many others do. Wake up from your sleep, for the day of restoration is near, even nearer now than when we first believed. Protect yourselves from the shadows of despair by clothing yourselves in the light of Christ so you can endure the long night of waiting that comes before the dawn. So, How do we clothe ourselves in Christ? How do we sit in the shadows with hope this Advent season? Do we have to refrain from enjoying ourselves or the holiday too much so that we don't forget all of the suffering around us? No. I think it's pretty hard to forget the suffering. I don't think that doing that is the message of Advent. Besides, anytime you read or watch the news, you will be reminded of the shadows that we're living in very quickly. As long as we are not trying to just numb ourselves and ignore the pain and the cries for justice in our world, I think we can feel free to celebrate this season however feels right to us. Any activist will tell you that perhaps the most important thing to sustain you in the midst of the struggle for justice is to make room for experiencing joy. Experiencing joy and goodness allows us to hold on to hope in the shadows. There's a reason that people put up lights at this time of year, and it's not just because it's the holidays. People have been lighting candles and putting out lanterns and lights during this season long before Advent or electricity were part of people's lives. We decorate with light during this season of cold days and long nights to remind ourselves that the light has not abandoned us. The days will get warmer, the sun will return, and all the things that lay dead and dormant in the winter will have the energy to burst forth and grow new life when the bright spring days finally arrive. Our light displays remind us of that promise and sustain us in the darkness. So in the same way, perhaps we can see our favorite holiday traditions not as distractions from what is truly important, but as joyful acts of resistance against anything that threatens to extinguish our hope. Maybe when we sing along to our favorite Christmas song or bake our favorite cookies and put up our favorite holiday decorations, we are just reminding ourselves that there is still good in this world worth fighting for. And even the deepest shadows cannot obscure the beauty that God has woven into the fabric of our universe. So, this Advent, I invite us to bake cookies in the darkness, filling the air with a sweet reminder of God's promises of peace. And sing songs of resistance as we hang our lights, reminding ourselves and our neighbors that God comes to dwell with us, even in the deepest shadows of despair. And may the strains of our favorite Christmas carols become prayers for a world that is truly filled with joy and goodness for all people. May the light of our Advent candles fill us with the hope, peace, and joy and love that we need to sustain us for the hard work of birthing God's kingdom in and among us. For the day of restoration is near, nearer now than even when we first believe. Watch. Keep awake.